If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. As we continue in our study, the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This morning we'll be looking at verses 19 and 20. The title of the message this morning is The Sins of Idolatry and Witchcraft. The sins of idolatry and witchcraft. Now the Apostle Paul, let's read these verses together beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are plain, manifest, that these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the Apostle Paul in these verses is again giving us a list of the sins that are plainly revealed. Sins that are plainly revealed to every one of us. Every one of us go down this list of sins, and we all know these are evil. We know that these are not right. And this is because God wrote this on our hearts. Even from a young child, especially from a young child, we know and feel our conscience more as a young child than we do when we're older. Why is that? Because over the years, we've seared our conscience to feel that these things are evil. We've done them so much that it just is natural for us to do it, and we feel no shame in it. But we know, every man knows, that these are sins, that these are not right. Because God wrote it on our hearts. We were born dead, blind, and ignorant of the things of God. And rather than hearing the conscience that God gave us, we would rather take pleasure in our sins. This is the heart of every one of us. I usually say it's the heart of every man, but I don't want you to start thinking about other people. I want you to know it's you I'm talking to. Because I'm talking to myself. You see, we got that in common. We both are born with a wicked, evil nature that is full and corrupt of sin. But I'll tell you this, only those who have been resurrected by the Spirit of God in their souls and been given a brand new nature that is holy, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins and raised again from the dead, only those of us who believe on Christ truly understand the nature of our sin. I didn't say fully. I just said truly. I truly understand that these sins are my nature. I understand that I am guilty of all of these sins. We not only know that these are sins, but we who believe are now given the power to overcome these sins. Overcome these sins. We have the Spirit of God now dwelling inside of us, and we have a new nature that now rules over our heart, so that these sins that we once loved and enjoyed, we no longer have the affection for those sins. We no longer love those things that we once loved. And therefore, in every one of us who are a believer in Christ, there's a constant warfare going on. Constant. It doesn't stop. It's day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Constant struggle within our own breasts concerning our old nature and our new nature. Constant struggle. We who believe desire only to be righteous. You see, I just don't want to be semi-good. I don't want to just get by. Friends, I want to be as holy as God is. That's how holy I want to be. I don't want any of my sins. I don't want any of it. And those who are alive unto God, this is how we feel. This is how we see things. That the old nature in everything it does is contaminated. There's a law in Leviticus. I believe it's Leviticus 15 of the issue of a man or a woman's issue, which is either blood or something oozing off of their flesh. When they touch something, that thing or person, whatever it was, became unclean. Under the law, it became ceremonially unclean. Well, that's a picture of us. Everything we touch, the issue of our sin goes out. And we defile whatever it is we touch. Even though we would do good, what's present with us? Evil. Evil is present with us even when we would do good. Oh, wretched man that I am. Is that not the cry of every awakened sinner who believes on Christ? You bet it is. You bet it is. We loathe ourselves and we adore Him. We adore Him. And even though we believers do sin, even though we are not as we long to be, our conduct is not what we desire to be, but we know this, that in every believer there is a mark of grace. There is a mark of difference between a sinner and a sinner saved by grace. There's a mark. There's a difference. And the difference is this. God's people are led by the Spirit of God. Look at this in Romans chapter 8. Flip over to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 12. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of the living God? Do you have faith completely, absolutely in Christ Jesus alone? You see, that's where the Spirit always leads us, to faith in Christ. It never turns us from Christ to look back at ourselves. Never. When we are saved by the grace of God, we cease to look at us because all we see is sin. We cease to look at our works for any comfort, for any assurance. We always, constantly, led by the Spirit, look by faith to Christ. That is it. That's what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. Believer in Christ, you're not indebted to your flesh. Sometimes I think we act like we're indebted to this body. Like we owe this body something. When this body yells, what do? We run right after it. We go and take care of it. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your body, but I'm talking about sin. This flesh loves to run to sin, and you don't owe your flesh anything to run to sin. We don't owe our flesh anything. But only to Christ, our God and King, do we owe everything. Everything. If you are led by the Spirit, you and I do strive to mortify the deeds of this flesh. But if there is anybody who has no love for righteousness, no love for holiness, you will die. Now, we're all going to die physically, but this is a spiritual matter. This is a spiritual death. It is an eternal death. It is a very serious thing. Sin is not to be trifled with, friends. Sin is a dangerous thing because all sin is worthy of hell. All sin is worthy of hell. And believers, we do commit sins. I know this. I know this from me. I know I commit sins. Every day, every moment, we commit sins. But these sins are not the pattern and tenor of our life. If you look at me at any certain point in my life, I'll tell you what, you'll find many reasons to say, man, that guy's a wicked man. If you notice me at certain times in my life, I'm sure you can point it out. And I can do the same with you. If we look at David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba, if we just only look at that one portion of David's life, what conclusion could we make? Man, that guy's lost. That guy doesn't know God at all. But what was the tenor of David's life? It wasn't that. David didn't constantly revel in this. He fell into that sin. But how long was it before God brought him out? It wasn't long. And it's the same with us. Everyone who falls, everyone who believes in Christ, yes, we fall into sin, but God lifts us up out of it. We don't stay in it. God's people don't. I know a man that constantly living with women, constantly. And all the while, he says, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus. The whole tenor of that man's life is sin. The whole tenor of it. He has no love for the gospel, no love to come and sit with God's people, no love for anything of Christ, and yet he says, oh, I'm a believer. I don't think so. I'd be worried about you. Why? Because the tenor of your life is not after holiness. You don't desire that. God's people do. We desire to be led of the Spirit. And we are plainly opposed to these sins. Now last week we did look at these first group of sins. And verse 20. Wait, I'm in the wrong book now. I looked at that and that didn't look right. Verse 19 in our text in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are clear and plain. These, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are sexual sins. And these sins I mentioned last week are first because they're the most common among men. They're the most common among us all. But they are not to be seen as casual. Man in this generation, sex is nothing more than a casual glance or a thought, and it really doesn't bother anybody. God help us. There's no more shame, is there? It's casual to people. And these sins burn within every one of us. This is not uncommon to any one of us. But we are believers in Christ. We must flee from these things rather than burned up by them. Because I'll tell you, if you toy with them, you'll be burned up by them. And I'm talking to believers too. Paul was talking to believers when he said, flee fornication in 1 Corinthians 6. He was talking to Timothy, the pastor, Timothy, when he said, flee youthful lusts. Well, preacher, I'm above that. I got a handle on that, and that's no problem. Preacher, I'm too old. Oh, really? If you've got your mind and eyesight, you're not too old. You're not too old. You watch television for 10 minutes, and I know. These things flare up in our minds, and we cannot stop them from coming. Martin Luther said this. He said, I can't stop the birds from flocking, but I can stop them from nesting. We can't stop these thoughts from coming, but we can flee them. We can stop them from nesting in our minds. Well, and the second group that I wanted to look at hurriedly now is these two, idolatry and witchcraft. Now, idolatry. Most people, when they hear this, think of little idols, people bowing down to them, worshiping these little idols. Well, that is idolatry. That is idolatry. And we can see this in many countries. I mean, you go to Mexico, and they've got statues of the Virgin Mary right there in their yards. And man, they bow down to these things and worship these things all the time. And I'll tell you, we who truly believe in Christ, we know this is saved by grace. We have no interest in bowing down to little statues, do you? You don't have these little statues at home and you don't want to bow down to them. You don't have any interest in worshiping them because you know they are nothing. You know they have no power to save you. So we don't do that. But there are some who name the name of Christ that do bow down to these statues. They bow down to crosses and pictures. And I'll tell you, it seems very religious, doesn't it? You see the man in the long robe going down, and omnibus, and speaking in Latin, language that's dead, you can't understand it. He doesn't understand it probably. Right, waving some smoke in the front, and beautiful buildings and nice golden crosses with a weak, effeminate man hung on there. They got the Virgin Mary and all the saints and stuff, and they just think that is appealing to our flesh. It's appealing to this old nature to have some kind of ceremony or ritual, isn't it? I have a man always trying to tell me, he said, man, you need some excitement in your church. All you do is stand up there and preach. That's not exciting. You need something exciting. Why? He's looking for an idol to worship. He's looking for something that his flesh can enjoy. That's what idolatry is. These acts of religion appeal to the word, to the flesh. And I'll tell you, believer, listen to me very carefully. Hearing another gospel than the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ and associating or consenting to false religion is idolatry. It's idolatry. You mean we can commit? Yes, we can commit idolatry. Matter of fact, we do. Some people won't bow down to gold statues. They bow down to gold itself. Money. They bow down to that. Some may be faithful to prayer and worship and reading of the Bible for the sole purpose of easing their conscience. That's idolatry. People come in here and they are coming to church and they just hear the preaching. They sacrifice their time. They get up in the morning. They get dressed. They give their little coins or money in the offering and they say, well, I've done all I can do. My conscience is clean. Now then, I'm going to go sin until next week. Idolatry. Idolatry. Idolatry is also the worship of the flesh. It is the sin of the flesh to think that if we do something religious or give something to the church that we can somehow buy room to sin. Isn't that what the Catholic Church believed before in indulgences? They used to pay the church money so that they could be pre-approved forgiveness, kind of like a loan. You know, they'd pay, and the priest would say, okay, I'm going to forgive you for whatever you're going to do. And you can just go and do it and have a good conscience. That's idolatry. And friends, it happens to us. It happens to us. We do the same thing. We may not be as blatant, but there are times we use the mask of religion to disguise our sin. The second thing is witchcraft. And this is the occult. This is the spirits, the summoning of spirits or the working of supernatural power. Witchcraft is the sin of looking into things that do not belong to us. Go to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What does this say? This was the temptation of the enemy from the beginning, friends. He said to our mother Eve, thou shalt not surely die. But God knows in the day you eat this fruit, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was tempting her to look into things that did not belong to her. He said, you'll be magical. You'll be powerful. You'll be gods. Is that not the temptation of witchcraft? To take the place and power of God over men? It is. It is. And this is passed to all of us. By nature, we are allured to magic, aren't we? When you see people doing magic tricks, everybody's interested. Everybody's interested. And I'll tell you, there's a difference between somebody doing illusions or somebody doing a trick and people who are trying to work real magic, but that allurement has the same value to our natural flesh. We are drawn to witness things of supernatural miracles. It is our nature to try to control and have power over our elements, over the flesh, over our bodies. It is our nature to desire these controls, and it's our nature to desire to look to the future, isn't it? Isn't that just our nature to want to see what's next? Yes, it is. Want to know what's next? Well, friends, these things don't belong to us. Supernatural powers don't belong to us. They belong to God. He gave them to His apostles, but He ceased to give them after the apostles. Why do people still long for it? Speaking in tongues and all of these miracles that they want to do that we know is a farce. It's a joke. It's witchcraft. Pentecostal religion is witchcraft. Nothing more than a witch doctor standing up there hooting and hollering. That's it. Horoscopes. Palm reading. New Age movement, Buddhism, free will, self-help, man-centered religion is witchcraft. Why? They desire the power of God. They desire to have power over their own destiny rather than yielding to God as sovereign. Witchcraft. Well, if you come down here and say this prayer, everything will be all right. What is that but an incantation? Is that not an incantation? Of course it is. You're saying by saying this, you're going to make God do something. Or you're obligating God to do. No, that's witchcraft. Sorcery. These things are to be shunned by every true believer in Christ. These are not harmless. These are not funny. Some lady read a horoscope the other day and I couldn't help. It was just silly. And I laughed out loud. I felt ashamed when I laughed because that's not funny. It's not funny. She's dealing into things that she has no idea. Those things don't belong to her. The future doesn't belong to her. Well, Pastor, we're not going to do that. We don't have anything to do that. I'm glad that we're so safe from witchcraft and sorcery. Oh, really? Let me ask you this. Have you ever asked the question, what is God's will for my life? You ask that? What are you asking? Are you not asking somehow for us to tell you what's going to happen in the future? You're wanting us to look in some crystal ball and tell you what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know. I can warn you of what may happen. I can warn you what eventually is going to happen because that's revealed to me. That's in the Word of God. I can tell you what this book says. But I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen to you. You may sin against God and go and live a prosperous life. You may sin against God and you may suffer all your life. I don't know. I don't know what holds the future for you. I know this. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer eternity in hell because God said so. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, God will save you and you will live eternally with Him. I know that. Why? It's revealed to me. It's not witchcraft. I'm just telling you what God says. God's will is this, that we believe on the Son of God. Have faith in Christ alone. May God keep us from these sins. Make no mistake about it. If we're going to be kept, it must be by the power of the Holy Spirit because we can't keep ourselves from anything. I pray that God bless this to our hearts. We're dismissed.